This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Okay, This lesson for this session was first published in the month of October of the year 2019, and it's being put on audio in the month of September of 2024. That's just under 5 years difference between the two. And our subject scripture is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 4. And it's for October of the year 2019. And if you have the scripture available, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." The title for the message is "This is War." It's part number 5 of a 7-part message. Now, in closing last month, I was showing you how that a simple scripture like John 3:16, which is known as the heart of the gospel, could mislead some people into thinking they are on their way to heaven, when in reality they are on their way to hell. It all has to do with the ability of the person to fully understand what this scripture is actually saying. The ability of a person to be able to understand this and other scriptures depends on whether or not the Holy Spirit is leading them. Without Him, a person is almost certainly doomed to miss the mark and end up in a place that they don't want to be. The reason I say this is there's another alternative. That alternative is a person who is being led by the Holy Spirit, guiding this person onto the path of truth of God's Word. You see, none of us is actually seeking the truth of God's Word. As far as we are concerned, the things that are happening in our lives are things that, for the most part, we have no control over. And we even go so far as to say that the things that happen to us are all part of God's plan for our lives, and therefore we have to struggle to make the best of it. This is one of the reasons why Jesus came here himself. The Bible tells us in several passages of Scripture that many, when left to their own devices and way of thinking, will end up destroying themselves and those around them. Look at these scriptures. Genesis chapter 6 verse number 5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Then we're going to go to Romans chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse number 10. It said, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." This is the dilemma that we find ourselves in today. If you look at the scriptures above in Genesis, we see the reason that God destroyed the world by flood in the day of Noah. Fast forward to the time after Christ ascended back into heaven. The Apostle Paul, being led by the Holy Spirit, is relaying essentially the same outlook as to what the world is becoming. Everyone is out to do their own thing. Their mentality is, if it feels good, do it. You only have one life to live, so live it with all the gusto that you can. Nowhere do you see anybody saying, "Let us seek God and see what He has to say." In fact, the opposite is true. If a person dares to bring up what God has to say, they are attacked. The love of God for mankind was so great that He sent His Son to guide us to the truth of His Word. And what did these leaders do? They attacked and eventually crucified Him. That is where we are today. As the Bible says, this is nothing new. And given what happened in Genesis, the same thing is going to happen again. Of course, it will not be by flood, but by fire. You know, just from my observation, all of this talk about global warming and climate change could very well be the manifestation of what God is about to bring on this earth. But if we listen to what most preachers in the black community are saying, they support the idea that science knows best. And as such, they lead their followers to believe that the rich, the white man, the Republicans, the big corporations, the automobile, and just about anything else that is making our lives better is the problem. And as such, we need to get rid of them. I hear most of these preachers quoting all sorts of scientific reports, news media observations, and the like as being more truth than what the Word of God says. It shows me that these people are as blind as the proverbial bat. And what does the Bible say about that? If the blind lead the blind, they will both fall in the ditch. They are not being led by the Holy Spirit because they don't even know God. What they do know is they graduated from some institution of higher learning, like a Bible college or some other such thing. They have all sorts of degrees on the walls, and they think that is all that they need. Now, I am not saying that education is a bad thing, but when it comes down to the things of God, He puts who He wants in positions of leadership based not on their education, but what is in their heart. The more education a person has, the more likely they will be filled with pride when it comes to someone with a lesser education or less time in service than they have correcting them. This means they will not listen to them. The Bible tells us that man looks on the outward, but God looks at the heart. You find that in 1 Samuel chapter number 16 and verse number 7. If God used education as a criteria for being in ministry, then the church would be an institution of chaos, and it would be all God's fault. But if we look at the church today, it is in chaos. Jesus said that the church should be as one with Him and the Father. Go to St. John chapter 17 and verse number 22. That means that no matter what church assembly you went to, you would hear the same things that you would hear if you went to another church. What we have today is straight out of the handbook of the Antichrist. We have church denominations. I call them demon nations, switching the N for an M around, which are used to keep it, the church, splintered. Each of these denominations have their own views and interpretations on what certain scriptures say and mean. And as a result, they build a doctrine and messages on that interpretation. This then leads to separation from any other church that does not have the same interpretation. Just like John 3:16 and what it really means. Then, to cement their position, the materials that they use are published by them and used to educate the layperson or persons to come into their churches. This is where our politicians come in. The majority of them have been raised from childhood or are longtime members of churches that are aligned with the Antichrist, and as such, they, not knowing that they are being taught to embrace the doctrine and the teachings coming from the devil, believing they are from Christ, leave and go forth promoting an agenda that they truly believe is Christ-centered. And what is the result of this? These politicians go back to their jobs and enact all types of laws that they feel will make the country a better place because they have God's approval. if we were to go back and look at the laws that were put in place when this country was first founded and the adjustments made to those laws down through the years, we would see a steady progression away from them. Back then, this nation was founded on the principles that are founded and outlined in the Word of God, the main one being that God is our Creator. The next being that all mankind is created equal. That was followed by the fact that each of us has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. With that being the case, each of us is responsible for our own successes or failures in life. If any of us fails to achieve life's best, then in most cases, the fault lies with that person. Of course, back then, as we have today, there were people that felt the need to achieve success in life at the expense of others. And as we have today, was essentially preachers that fully embraced these types of actions. In that instance, I am talking about slavery. Even though this nation was a God-fearing nation, there were those who sought to better themselves by enslaving other men and women as a means of getting ahead. After some time, people rose up to combat this evil that was spreading throughout the land. The nation was nearly torn apart in the war that followed, but good won out over evil. Ever since that time, those with evil intentions would not give up. As one of them said, "The South shall rise again." And as time marched on, we can see a steady progression of that same type of evil rising to the surface by way of political and educational institutions. This is why I entitled this series of messages the way that I did. We are in a warfare that not only is being manifested in the carnal realm, but mainly in the spiritual and heavenly realm as well. And as such, we need to be able to recognize the enemy as well as who and what he is using to bring about our destruction. This is no time for playing games and laughing off the seriousness of what is happening. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 that there is a season or a time for everything under the sun. Ecclesiastes 3 and 8 says, "A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace." It doesn't do you any good to try living in peace with an enemy that is hell-bent on destroying you. And friend, that is just what the Antichrist is doing. He will use anyone and anything to achieve his goal. So you best be prepared for battle. The problem is, the main weapon that God has put here to do battle with him has fallen asleep at the switch, so to speak, led mostly by its so-called leadership. Of course, I am talking about the men and women in the pulpits of this nation's churches. Not all, thank God, but most. Next month, I will continue by naming some names. Well, that's all for this part of the message. And like I was saying, you know, all of this stuff, it's right there in the Bible. It's spelled out for you. Anybody can look at it and read it. And like I said, there's certain things in it that are crystal clear. I mean, you can't misunderstand it unless you actually have to get somebody to help you misunderstand it, because it's just that clear. But for those of you that can't understand it, then you need God's help to help you understand it. And if you seek Him, He'll provide the answer for you. He'll send somebody to you, one of His anointed, that will give you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Well, until we get together again for the next part of our message, let me just say to you and your family, may God bless you and your family real good. Until next time, good day.